So we're starting a brand new series today called Going Out on a Limp. And oh, I didn't get that wrong. But a little disclaimer right here at the beginning, okay? So if you're a super saint, your halo never fades, your faith never wavers, and you never struggle, then this series is not for you. Because the story that we're going to read was never written for perfect people. It was actually written for stumblers and fumblers, those who are sometimes saint and sometimes scoundrel. And it's not a story that's going to try and show our imperfections. It's actually a story that's going to show how God, in His perfect plan, also uses imperfect people. The story we're going to look at is that of Jacob. Now, when we put Jacob in the picture of the stories of Bible heroes, he kind of stands out a little bit like a sore thumb, right? Because, I mean, he was a liar, he was a thief, he was a backstabber, he was a heel grabber. He even wrestled with God in the mud of the Jabbok to get a blessing from God. And he came out with a blessing, but he also came out with a limp. And I wonder how many of us can identify with that. How many of us have struggled with God in the mud? Struggled with God about our past, about our future, about our pain, about our problems, and came out of that struggle with a limp. Well, if that's you, then the story and the series is for you. So before we read, let me give you a little background. Jacob's grandparents were Abraham and Sarah. They only had one child, Isaac. And when he came of age, Abraham wanted to find the perfect wife for him. So he sent the servant away, and his servant came to a man whose name was Laban, who had this beautiful sister called Rebecca. And Laban allowed Rebecca to marry Isaac, and Rebecca gave Isaac twin boys. And this is where we pick up the story, because talk of sibling rivalry. It actually already started right there in the womb. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 25, going to read from verse 23. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other will send the younger, and the older will serve the younger." And when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out as red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, and his hand was grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, heel grabber. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Boy, does this ever spell trouble, each having a little blue-eyed boy. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew, I'm famished." That's why he was also called Edom, which means red ground. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Let's stop there for now. We'll pick up verse 34 a little later. The key to the story is the word that you read about 4 or 5 times with me. Birthright. Being born first had with it their birthright and the blessing. And let me explain that to you for a second. Having the birthright and that blessing, all of that went together. It meant The firstborn would be the one who would run the clan, and when the father died, would inherit far more, like two-thirds of what the other would inherit, would run the everyday things, would take care of the business. He would be the main person. That with that went the blessing that came from Abraham, that God said, through you I will bless this world, and I will bless the earth, and I will bless the peoples of the earth. It's the key to understanding the whole story. But can I just for a second pause that and do a little sidebar with you? You do know that we too have a birthright, right? I mean, you've read Romans chapter 8 from verse 15 to verse 17. Where Paul writes and he says, we're no longer slaves to sin that are bound by sin, but we've been set free. And so we can call to God through the Holy Spirit, Abba, Father, loving Father. And then he says, and the Spirit calls with our spirit, reminding us that we are children of God. More than that, we are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's our birthright. Isaac's son would inherit wealth. God's children inherit all the gifts of heaven. Grace and wisdom. And forgiveness, and peace, salvation, and redemption, and entrance to the Father and the Father's heart. So can I just ask you for a moment, did you remember that you have a birthright? Do you live with someone whose birthright is important to them? Now let me take you back to the story. I hit pause and I said, the birthright is it. So the story tells us that Esau was out hunting one day, and then Esau comes back, and Esau smells from far this red stew that Jacob is making. He's playing games, right? Red for the red Esau, red for the red ground, the red stuff that he so wanted. But forget that. That's a story for another day. So he comes famished and he smells the stew and he's so hungry, and he walks in and he says to Jacob, Jacob, give me some of that stew. I'm so hungry. I feel that I can die. Jacob, heel grabber, deceiver, one who always sees an opportunity, sees the opportunity and seizes it. And he says to Esau, fine, you can have the stew if you are prepared to give me your birthright. And Esau says, what's the story about the birthright? Buddy, I'm dying here. I don't care about birthright. Just give me that stuff to eat. He wasn't dying. He could have made his own food. He was a skilled hunter, it said. He's just putting it on. He's just running after his stomach. I don't care about the birthright. Just give me the stuff that I can see right in front of me. And yes, I'll swear it off to you. Take the birthright and it's all yours. See, Esau runs for that which is in front of him that he can feel and touch. Not the birthright that right now doesn't mean a thing to him. So this is what the Bible says, verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank. Then he got up and left. And here's the Bible's commentary. So Esau despised his birthright. You know what that means? Jacob got the birthright. And because of that, Jacob would also get the blessing. And Jacob would become Israel. And from Israel would come 12 tribes. And from that tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes, would come the lineage of a man called the Lion of Judah, called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, who would come into this world and who would save us and who would give us our birthright that we can sit at the table of God. And do you know what the Bible has to say about Esau? Book of Hebrews says, the only thing that we can say of Esau is that he couldn't care about his birthright. And he sold it for a bowl of stew. Now that kind of tempts me to go in a specific way, but I'm not going to do that. That's a sermon for another day. Let me get you back to Jacob, because we can't just let Jacob off the hook that easily. I mean, is that what God expects of his children? Conniving? Manipulating? Only doing their own thing? Taking whatever they want? That's not what God expects. I mean, Jacob should have known all about this. You can't tell me that Rebekah, when God told her in the beginning, you got the two boys, but the older will serve the younger and I'm going to take care of it. You can't tell me that Rebekah and her little blue-eyed boy who hung around the tent with her all the time never had this conversation and she never told him this. And God? Did God really need Jacob's hard-handedness in this for God's plan to take place? No, he didn't. But there was this man, this factor called Jacob. Jacob who always needed to be in control. Jacob who always had to have his own way. And yet, God calls himself the God of Jacob. I wonder if you can identify with this. Because boy, do I have a story for you in the rest of this series. Because maybe you too have traded your place at the table for a bowl of pleasure one too many times. Maybe you too are so focused on your own control and always just want to have control over everything. Maybe you too have grabbed someone and pulled them back to get yourself ahead. You've said yes to any of those? Then hang on, because there's a lot more to come in this series, and it's meant for you, and it's meant for me. But let me end today with a little bit of a highlight from the story of Jacob. Two highlights. Covenant and a caveat, caution. Here's the covenant. God uses people like us. People who stumble. People who struggle. People who mess up. People who waver in their faith. People who don't always get it right. Paul explains that really well in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says, "We who carry within us this birthright, this treasure, are but jars of clay." What is our birthright? Our birthright is to sit at that table with God, to have that entrance into God's heart, to belong to God. And we carry that, but where do we carry that? In these broken and very brittle jars of clay, in our bodies that are weak, in our minds that sometimes just break down, in our attitudes that focus on ourselves alone. In these broken vessels, God has put that beautiful birthright that Jesus Christ gave to each one of us. And in a moment we ask, but can God even use that? Can God take care of that in God's plan? Here's the thing, my friends. God specializes in broken jars. And God does the most beautiful things through brokenness. Just think about it. A broken egg gives life. A broken cocoon gives flight. Broken bread at the table of the Lord gives hope. A broken body of Jesus Christ on the cross gives life and light and salvation. God specializes in broken vessels. Because you see, it's not the strength of the vessel, but it's the strength of the one who can repair it and use it, and repair it and use it, and repair it and use it. For we are but jars of clay. There is a caveat, a little caution in the story too. For God to be able to use us, God will have to shape us. And the rest of the story, we're going to see that. Jacob will be shaped by God in so many ways. He needs to be pruned every now and then. Needs to saw off a little piece here and there. He'll take the sandpaper and he'll sand away those rough edges. Jacob didn't just remain Jacob. God would slowly but surely transform Jacob into Israel, into the one who would be a blessing to the peoples of the earth. And God will do that with every tool in His toolbox to shape us into the people that God wants us to be. Because it's not perfect people that God uses in His perfect plan, but imperfect people. So if sometimes you feel that you're weak and you don't think you do it right, welcome. If you feel that you've lost a little bit of the bounce in your step and it's more of a limp, if you feel that so often you fail and you stumble, do I have a story for you in the next 6 weeks? So come along. Let's go out on a limb. Amen. Pray with me. Oh, gracious God, thank you that you put the story of Jacob in the Bible. My story. Our story. Story of people that limp. But it's your story too, because from the story of Jacob came the story of Jesus, the Son of God, the one who died so that we may be heirs of all of the gifts of heaven. Help us then as jars of clay, Lord, to live like your children, to live your way in this world every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.